Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1 o'clock hour. Rob Britton was in here as well. We were talking about Chick-fil-A and chicken and waffle sandwich. We're about to be joined by Kling. Drew's laughing. He's on the phone with Kling right now. He doesn't know we're back. We're trying to get Kling on. They're just having a conversation now. I'm staring at him. He now realizes what's going on. I don't know what's going on. We should have honestly just hit the on-air button and let Drew and Kling's conversation continue I think we should have just done that.
So I pick up the phone and Kling goes, Jay Binkley fan club. And I was like, how's it
perfect.
Going,
I like that idea, actually. Jay Binkley fan club. People can just call in and talk to Bink. I like that idea. We do have a Stitch line coming up in 15 minutes, all right? We do this like once a month. Today's a perfect day because Bink said he doesn't want to be Professor Bink, so we'll have Professor Weber tomorrow when Logan's in for Cody. But Stitch line, anything you have witnessed, anything you have done around town, something you want to get off your chest, 913-586-7965. You can start texting those in. I already see one involving somebody's birthday that we'll get to, but that's coming up after Kling joins us. He, of course, will be on the sidelines in Denver, but you're a big member, founding member of the fan club for Bink, or no?
I think so. I think that's the next great business idea is I generate a Bink AI, and then, yeah, he answers phone calls, because you wouldn't want to stream it, or like it would actually be like an actual phone call, because Binkley is still doing phone calls a lot, right?
Like Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson.
Kling, like for that 220 phone call I get after the show a lot.
So it'd be strictly phone calls, and landlines would move to the top of the
landline. I don't know what last time I used one, except for these.
Certainly the one in the newsroom.
Except for
probably.
These, yeah.
Kling, there's no secret how massive this game is. On Sunday, we've all thrown around must win for the division. It absolutely is. But what do you actually think it does, win or lose, for just overall psyche of not just the fan base, but from the team? Because I think that's the interesting element here. I think for Denver, if they lose, to me, it messes them up maybe the rest of the way, psyche-wise, and they still can't get over the hump. For the Chiefs, if they lose, they're 5-5, and for the first time really in the Mahomes era, there's real, I think, doubt about postseason stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part with this one is, you know, I've been telling people, I'm like, no, they're talented. They're talented enough to win this whole thing. But at some point in time, you do have to go with your record is your record. And I don't think Denver's as good, but they're 8-2, and you can't take that away from them. And then the Chiefs being at 5-4, yet still being obviously the Super Bowl favorite everywhere, I don't think is like out of line if you just watch them play and again, took out the results necessarily, right? If you see them play, you're like, oh yeah, man, that's a good team that's got a lot going for it, not a ton of holes, but they have four losses. And so, it feels like this has turned into kind of a must win, maybe not even just for the division, but to keep playoff momentum. You don't want to deal with that margin of playoffs at the end as well if you're you know, kind of messing around with that. And who would have thought they'd have been in the world where they're close to messing around with that? You know what I mean? So this has suddenly turned into kind of a must win. I don't know if Denver loses, if they'd be done. I mean, they're still at 8 wins, you know what I mean? So, but if they get this one, man, they're going to be flying high, because this is a team that believes. I mean, they believe, and it can't go in the stat book anywhere, but I do appreciate teams like we saw with that, you know, a previous Chiefs team, right? That just figured out ways to win, and we're doing it in all those strange and weird ways. This Denver team's got a belief that they can get it done, and they can overcome whatever deficits they have to figure out a way to win games. And that goes a long way towards, you know, believing internally that you can do it and then going out there and getting it done. So there's a lot on the line for both. I think probably more for the Chiefs because, yeah, backs are against the wall at 5-4. There's no doubt.
Kling, when you notice fan bases, obviously you're down there with the fans, so you hear it from all. I've always considered Denver some of the most annoying fans with the whole incomplete chant and everything they have. But how quickly will this team turn on their own fan base? Because they were booing Denver. They booed them at different times this year, which is silly with an eight wins on the season. But how quickly could the Chiefs kind of flip things, score, maybe get those fans to start booing early on?
Yeah, I mean, and Denver's not been very good to start games, right? So, I mean, getting off to a fast start and getting them in a little bit of a hole, I think would be best served. Obviously, the Chiefs are better when they do that too, right? When they're firing out of the chute. But they haven't been as great at doing that. But if you can get up a couple of scores, I think you're really going to put the heat on them. And I also think, you know, kind of hearing, you know, kind of the vibe in Denver almost feels like that there's a lot of, well, we don't know how good we are either, kind of going on, right? So I think there's probably some doubt as to are they a paper 8-2 at this point, and they haven't really beaten anybody yet. So I don't know if they'd turn, but I think there's plenty of people that are probably pretty nervous seeing Patrick Mahomes and company come to town this week.
We're talking to Josh Klingler. He, of course, will be on the sidelines here on 96.5 The Fan Sunday afternoon. Do you still buy into the bye week, post bye week, Andy Reid bump? You know, we know the record is as good as it gets out of a bye week, but the Broncos also kind of had a mini bye here.
I mean, I think the Chiefs have mastered the art of that, right? And Andy Reid has figured out what he needs to tweak during that time. And I think the coaches put in a ton of work. I think the Chiefs are about as good as any team in changing what they do, especially offensively, like week to week. So give them 2 weeks, give them time to scout what the Broncos are doing. And I certainly think they're going to have a great game plan in place. So I do believe there's something to it. I just think that they have mastered whatever their schedule is and how they go about the process of that bye week works for them, especially from like a coaching standpoint. That's not even to say, you know, the getting the guys off their legs and doing whatever, because they kind of kick them out for a few days, right? And it's just the coaches kind of grinding that whole time. And so I think they enjoy it. Or I think at least Andy Reid does enjoy that portion of it, right? You get a little bit of extra time, can really get in there and dial in some things that you're not doing quite as well, tweak some things here and there. I think those are one of the things that the drive probably the best coaches is certainly Andy Reid. And it's been proven that he does really well coming out of it. So perfect week. I think I thought it was a perfect week health wise this time, because especially along the offensive line, the injury report looks much better than I thought it would coming out of the last game, especially for the offensive linemen. So to see the pretty clean, knock on wood, injury report going on, coming out of the bye is certainly encouraging.
You mentioned offensive line there. So Josh Simmons, full participant yesterday. We'll find out for sure here in an hour or so if he's a full participant again today. What's your feeling on his availability? I think he's healthy, but do you think Andy Reid is willing to start Josh Simmons basically right away after missing, you know, 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. I mean, I guess if you'd asked me though, guys, at training camp, did I think he would just put in Josh Simmons and let him go at training camp? I probably would have said no, right? I thought that they would have had a little slower play with him, but certainly I would think you kind of have to pause a little bit and see where he's at, probably physically and mentally at this point, and judge it by maybe what you said. So, hard for me to answer that question because I don't know. I don't think I would probably plug him right back in, but maybe have him available and maybe takes – you know, as much as you hate platooning along the offensive line, maybe getting his toes wet again real quickly and that type of thing might be best served. But we'll see. I don't know what is in store. I've not heard, and I think they're probably playing it, you know, day by day based on what they see in practice.
How much should that Denver pass rush concern the Chiefs in that offensive line? Speaking of the offensive line and the health, because most pressures, obviously the most sacks by 14 in yeah. the NFL. It's not just Benito, it's Zach Allen as well coming from the other side. And at secondary, even without Surtain, has been very active in what they do. How concerned should KC be?
Well, certainly with the pass rush, you know, a team that's doing his, I mean, they're historic numbers, right? 46 sacks, at Chiefs at 20. 46 sacks. That's a crazy number. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes has been not as great when he's been pressured this year. So it's not even about just getting him, but it's pressuring him that's been effective. That's always been the best key, right? If you can get heat on Mahomes, I'd take my chances doing that kind of every day of the week. And there's sometimes he's going to burn you, but there's sometimes where if you can bottle up on the back end and get the pass rush, you're going to be in some business against the Chiefs. So, yeah, no, that's certainly the number one matchup. And again, I'd rather have a, you know, fully healthy offensive line, but it is kind of weird to go along that line and see everybody banged up. I was kind of surprised that we didn't see Kingsley on the injury list this week too, because he was hobbling out of that game last week and then kind of pushed himself back in late. So I thought he'd be on the injury list along with, you know, basically everybody but Creed Humphrey had, you know, being on that list. So that being a little bit cleaner gives me a little less pause about it, but that's going to be the number one matchup. Can that offensive line hold up against their pass rush? Because if Denver doesn't slow down the Chiefs offensively, this Denver offense doesn't scare me a lot. Certainly early in games that they can hang with kind of a high scoring type of game. They need it to be a low scoring game. So if the Chiefs are able to penetrate their defense early on, I think it's trouble for the Broncos.
For the Chiefs run game, we know Isaiah Pacheco did not practice yesterday. Breshard Smith, Kareem Hunt, and then last time it was Clyde being activated. Could it be Elijah Mitchell? How do you think, let's say Pacheco can't go, how big of a deal is that against this Broncos defensive front, where I guess that is an area you can have some successes on the ground? Do you think they're out of a bye week willing to give Breshard Smith more work?
I would think that the bye week is also perfect for that type of player, like much like Xavier Worthy last year, where they kind of added stuff as the season went on, and then by the end of the year they had all kinds of stuff specifically for him. I'm hoping Breshard Smith falls into that category as well. You know, I think Hunt's still going to be your primary guy. Look, Pacheco to me I think shows how tough he is, because the game he got hurt in, he kind of just like shook it off and wanted to go back in, and the coach is like, no, we got a lead. We're going to back you off. And Andy Reid like literally went and talked to him and kind of convinced him that they were going to shut him down for the day. And I thought, okay, no big deal. And then now this injury is a little worse than we thought early on. So to me, one, that shows his toughness, that he didn't want to come out of a game that might cost him, you know, multiple games now, in terms of how severe that injury was. And then, yeah, I'm always calling for runs. We know that, right? Like, I know you guys are probably in the same camp too. And they may come out and throw it 40 times. I don't know. You're like, just when you think you got them figured out, they're going to go a different direction. So I would love to see in the second half, though, more Breshard Smith, because I think we want to know as well, from a fan standpoint, what he is moving forward, because they're going to have futuristic running back questions after the season is over. And again, that's much further down the road, but obviously Pacheco and Hunt, you know, maybe one of them is back. Certainly I would be hugely surprised if both of them were back, and you're going to have to do something different at the running back position next year. And so why not find out exactly what you have in Breshard Smith before you get to that point?
What do you see on a sideline so close from Breshard Kling? The guy just looks a little bit different as far as just the way he can break away. And I know his yards per carry against certain teams, I throw that out of the way, because this guy's got some juice to him. He just plays tough, man. For his size and the way that he gets off of defenders, I don't know what you've really noticed about Breshard, but he just looks different in a good way to me.
Yeah, and a different type of back than the other two, right? Yeah. So you can split him outside a lot more. I think going into the season, we weren't sure how they would handle third downs necessarily, and didn't get that maybe that veteran third down. I was hoping he'll morph into more of that, like, well, for now, he can be the exclusive third down guy because you're comfortable throwing him the football. I'd like to see him, though, run the football a little bit more just to see what he has. But he can run the end arounds. He can do all kinds of the gadget stuff as well. So he's got real way more versatility than the other two guys. We haven't probably seen as much what that means in the kind of regular running type scenarios for him. So hopefully we see a little bit more of that too. And then also don't forget, I'm almost throwing Rashee Rice into the part-time running back role, because we've seen a little bit of that, and I think we'll continue to see more of that, kind of lining him up in the backfield and having him do different things as well. He's such a powerful runner. And certainly if Pacheco's not in the mix, I think that adds maybe a few more plays to the potential of Rashee Rice lining up in the backfield.
Yeah, I love that. I love that for the rest of his career. It's kind of that Deebo Samuel look in the backfield for Rashee Rice. Kling, safe travels to Denver, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I will go back to my presidency of the Binkley Fan Club, already in progress.
Yeah, go ahead and let us know when that fan club is meeting. I think there's people that want to join, so we'll make sure we check next week on that. That's Josh Klingler, president of the Jay Binkley.
What do you consider this for Denver? Because we all talk about Andy Reid's record, 22-4 after the bye, 13-1 in Philly, 9-3 with the Chiefs, but 3-4 record when both teams have a bye. Now, Denver didn't
mini-buy.
Quote, they had a mini buy. Yeah. So you consider this kind of a mini buy for them?
I do. Yeah, I do. But I do think self-scouting is a big deal. And usually some of the stuff that we're pinpointing under center, not utilizing this player maybe as well. A lot of that stuff, those are all adjustments that I do think they are very well aware of. Whether they do them or, we're not, some of the numbers that get brought up from fans and social media, et cetera, these are not numbers. This is not data. This is not stuff that they're not aware of as well. Doesn't mean that they're going to shift the way you want them to shift, not necessarily, but I think they're well aware of some of the tendencies that have been good and bad for them. That's the whole point.
I just think how aggressive this defensive line is and the quarterback pressures. I can foresee a ton of quick hitters. I mean, Xavier Worthy in motion gets the pass. Bouchard, this is where he can be valuable, being a former wide receiver experience in Miami before he went to SMU, but just quick hitters from the Chiefs. Don't think we're going to see the sit back, couple seconds, wait for the ball downfield. I think I know people want to see that more. They want to see that Xavier Worthy on the 9 route or the vertical route or Tyquan. They want to see that. I don't know if this particularly the matchup to do that. I expect a ton of short passes from the Chiefs.
Coming up in about 15 minutes earlier today, we spoke with Danian Hughes, former wide receiver. We asked him about Xavier Worthy, his role, his tendencies, what he sees in the Broncos wide receiver room. You'll hear that conversation coming up in a bit, but it is time for the snitch line, Bink. It's been about a month, I think, since we did this.
Yeah.
913-586-7965. Something you have done.
I don't snitch.
Something you have seen. Coworker, family member. Something you're about to do. This is where we get into that. Here we go. Here's a good one. Bank, I think you have experience with this. It involves an ex-wife.
Oh, I have plenty of experience. I'm good at this. I'm pro at this.
Someone said they're on dating apps, and someone put their name in the Are We Dating the Same Guy KC Facebook group. Their ex-wife divorced. My ex-wife divorced. That somehow decided to just put me on blast. Tell this person everything to whoever put me on there. Me and my ex have been divorced for 6 years. My ex has been remarried for 3. Completely uncalled for.
It is. If it's false,
that is a real Facebook group. It is. That exists in Kansas City.
If it's false information and it's not true information, that is also slander and libelous. You have a lawsuit on your hand. Recommend a good attorney for this, because if it is fake information and didn't happen and it's untrue and it is hurting you in some respects, intentionally trying to harm, you do have a case if it's untrue.
Another one from the 913. I'm snitching on a coworker who sits on his ass all day, does nothing while the rest of our hardworking employees are trying to get raises. All the money for our potential raises are going to a guy who does absolutely nothing.
Not much you can do in this situation. Probably grandfathered in, probably been there forever. Seriously.
Coming from the guy that's in a complaint to management. Hang on a second.
I know.
In fairness, Bink, I'm not saying this person should do this, but if it's a collective group that's realizing this one individual is not doing anything, don't you think that it would be smart of them to speak to management about the issue and make a complaint?
Just don't be a snitch about it. I mean, if you had the whole group do it, that's one thing. One person doing it, no, it's kind of snitching.
Well, hang on. So there's a difference between this person snitching on their coworker and you snitching on the person at the McDonald's who got your order wrong.
It's not snitching. I was going to management because it's a business.
913-586-7965. From the 816, Snitching on myself, this person says. I ran the KC half marathon without paying. I paid taxes for the roads. I shouldn't have to pay $100 to run on them. But that half marathon's probably for charity, though. So you took money from charity. 13.1?
Is that the 13.1
sticker? I'm not sure. But like you took money probably for a charity at benefits. I get your logic, but you took money from
the
charity.
Shout out to you, though, for running a half marathon.
From the longtime listener, someone says. Longtime listener, first time snitcher. Mm. Today may or may not be my birthday, but none of the companies I do business with need to know that. So everything that I fill out, I give different days of the year as my birthday to get free Starbucks in February, free dinner here or there in March, etc. You can't visit every place in one day or one week. Like, what do they want you to do? So you have to lie and spread out the rewards.
You know what? That's one thing I do hate. If I go somewhere and someone says, oh, it's his birthday. I say, No, it's not. Because I hate when people come to your table and sing. Like, that really annoys me. Like, I don't like magicians or clowns or people that do balloons and come to your table. I certainly don't want to hear you sing.
So
I'd rather not get the free stuff, not to hear them sing, because it's usually terrible, and I don't like that type of situation. My same feeling with clowns and balloon magicians and all that crap that comes to your table.
Drew doesn't know it. One of these days, he just doesn't know when. One of these days, there's going to be a clown that just pops up right underneath the board that he's running. In the middle of the show. He doesn't know what day.
That's scary.
And he's terrified. Absolutely terrified.
I hate clowns as well, Drew. Did you know the Kansas City held a clown convention a few years ago?
That's weird.
They were all up in the Northland at the airport. Crazy. There was clown convention.
Did you walk through there?
No, I heard about it. I was like, stayed away, but there was clowns everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Like all over the place.
Unbelievable.
You know, all these damn clowns.
Snitch line continues, 913-586-7965. Someone said, had surgery for a hernia earlier this week. I'm taking the entire week off just so my coworkers can suffer. LOL.
On a big week. Big Denver.
Someone else
Wait,
said,
let me look up that number compared
yeah,
to the one that I have
Go ahead and
for,
search that one. Someone else said they saw Cody running in a marathon today when I was out downtown. He's actually not on bed rest. The whole hernia story was a lie. Someone else from the 816 had a look at a middle school Chromebook history. Why did you, sir? Please explain. Saw a lot of Google searches for porn. Kid had good taste, but needs to use a personal device instead of the school Chromebook. Jeez. Why were you looking at the Chromebook history at a middle school? I have questions about that. Anyway, elsewhere on the snitch line, 913-586-7965. Bink wouldn't be upset if a stripper came to his table on his birthday.
I didn't say stripper. I said clowns. Mm-hmm. Stripper, I'd love that. I'd welcome that.
Yeah?
Come on over. I said clowns are the people that make those balloon animals and stuff because they suck. Jeez. I'm talking stripper, perfectly fine.
Someone else, I don't know if I'll name the establishment. A very popular bar in Westport, someone says they urinated in the sink there a few weeks ago. Please tell me you were drunk. Not that it excuses it, but otherwise it makes no sense. What are you doing? What are we doing? What are you doing here? Elsewhere, my last employer took my garnished wages, pocketed them to the tune of $6,500. Can you prove it? Can you prove it? Hopefully you can.
It's a lot of money to be taken and garnering. But you got to prove that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
if you prove it, you got
something. I feel like that should be fairly easy to prove.
And you're not really stitching if it's that much money into your pocket because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Last one for you, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
From the 816. Their coworker shows up to work 2 hours late three times a week, is never there, oversleeps. He lives 2 minutes away. Yet someone else is late once and it's the end of the world. Yeah, that sucks. Mm. That sucks.
It's a real problem in fairness there.
All right. Couple more. I lied. Couple more.
Someone said they got fired from their job at McDonald's because some person got on the app and complained about it.
Yeah, them. Isn't that a jerk? for going on the app? Because he thought his hash brown was cold and his large Coke that he gets at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes into our building. It sounds like Drew. And then he goes on the app and complains it cost you a job. That is messed up.
You know what? From now on, if I do send a message, please do not get rid of the person that messed this up. It's a single mistake, and I just want to know if...
You complained in chat lines, man. That's taking it a step further.
Someone else snitching on themselves, snitching on themselves for getting compliments on weight loss, but they've just been using Wegovy. I mean, look, you're using Ozempic or Wegovy, and good for you. You know, if that's what it takes to make it happen, you don't need to be ashamed of that.
Do what you got to do.
You know,
lost the weight.
Good for you. If you know that's what you need. If it's not, if the other stuff's not working, hey man,
That's also not your fault that you're getting compliments on it, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we're not reading that one from the 417. I see it. I see it. We're not reading that one. That is the snitch line. 913.
Never know what you're going to get, you know?
586. This is why it became a monthly thing, not a weekly thing.
Well, this is why I had to tell people at night, because I was asking for pictures of the Northern Lights, which is dumb.
Last night, I was disappointed. I was told it was supposed to be better last night.
It was
too cloudy. You couldn't see a damn thing.
It was terrible. Terrible
couldn't
night
see the Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. Never going to see it again, you know?
So I had to go get the pizza instead, Drew.
No. Did you guys hang out last night?
No, he didn't.
No, we did not.
Up next, guys, we will get to what's trending.
Actually, I think they bully him.
Earlier today, Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joined us. We asked him about Xavier Worthy and these tendencies that he has. How easy are they to correct? Is it a big deal? And what does he make of the Broncos wide receiver?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's next.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, the Chiefs back at practice today. We'll await the full practice report in a couple hours, but George Karlaftis was limited yesterday. Isaiah Pacheco did not practice yesterday. That's where things stand on the injury front. Also, something that I know Chiefs fans are keeping an eye on, former Chief Colin Saunders was officially released by the Jacksonville Jaguars today. The veteran defensive tackle, of course, won 2 rings with the Chiefs. We shall see if they're interested in bringing him back.
Well, here's the one thing about it. You'd always say when these guys are released, everybody wants them to come back. But the Chiefs do bring them back. That's what the loyalty factor is big. It's why Mike Pinnell's been here 3 times. They understand and know the system. But the waiver claim, so he's got to go on waivers till tomorrow at this time, because once the trade deadline passes, everybody is subject to waivers. And the Chiefs, by the way, because of the record, they're the 17th on the waiver wire. At this moment, tonight, Thursday Night Football, we had a little chuckle during the break. because I said on Thursday nights, I used to time it when I did the college football show on Thursday nights for you to come on and talk about those Kansas Jayhawks.
Oh, that was right many years ago. Oh, yeah.
Thursday night games. But I would say they've gotten better, but they haven't.
Yeah, Jets, Patriots. I think it'll be an ugly one tonight. I like the under, but Patriots 12.5, 13.5 point favorites against the Jets. Elsewhere, college football, Bink, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee needs a new chair of the committee. That's because Mac Rhodes, the Big 12's athletic director for Baylor, also now in hot water, going to lose his job based off of some allegations that are out there. So they're looking for a new chair of the committee. The Big 12 is recommending, according to Yahoo Sports, Utah athletic director Mark Harlan to replace Mac Rhodes.
Probably a good choice. Of course, when you talk about your team, you have to recuse yourself from it. Utah is actually one of the schools, the first two out of the college football playoffs. Mac Rhodes, a former AD at the University of Missouri. Now they let this selection committee, this committee, this 12-man or 13-person panel, they allow media people. Ivan Maisel is actually on this committee, too, as a media member. I'm just saying.
Hey, is that what you're shooting for? Would you rather be on this committee or the Heisman voter? The committee, right?
This,
not even
100%.
Close. Yeah.
This, because they get to meet in Texas and talk about all these teams and games. They go down there each and every week. Honestly, I would prefer Drew Nixon on this committee because he actually watches these games and he has a lot of good things to say. Because Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz's take was terrible, but I think Drew would actually be perfect on this. So, yes, text line, I do say nice things to Drew.
I feel like Drew, though, would want everybody in. Like, they'd be like, Drew, there's only 12 spots. We can't have 18 of these teams get in. I feel like Drew's too nice. He'd make a case for every single team to get in.
10-2 Texas, you're not getting in. It's going to be 12-1 James Madison instead.
Drew does a guide of all 136 teams. Like, he does a preview already. Like, Drew was in, yes, Eli Drinkwitz, there's 136 teams, not 127. Yes. But Drew would know that.
Elsewhere, by the way, Disney and Google remain at an impasse over restoring ESPN and ABC, and of course, other networks to YouTube TV. It is at 2 weeks long now, 14 days, longest blackout Disney has faced in recent history. It's costing the company $4 million a day. You know my thoughts here. Of course, figure it the bleep out, and also don't forget to go apply for your $20 credit.
And go get your rabbit ears at a nearby
indoor antenna, man.
Store.
Go get that indoor antenna.
You can watch those games as long as ABC. MLB, the string of giving out awards every day, they're just stringing this thing out. It's like smashing your mashed potatoes to your mother. Like, hey, look what I ate when you smashed them off.
Go back. It's like doing what?
Wouldn't you smash food down when you're a kid?
Just said it's like smashing your mashed potatoes with your mother.
Yeah,
Didn't he say that?
No, your mother gave you food, you'd smash it out so it looked like you ate it. It's what kids do, okay?
Okay.
But anyway, I was just saying baseball strings their awards out. Cy Young Award winners, Paul Skenes in the National League. Tariq Skubal goes back-to-back, hasn't been done in what, 20-something years.
Very impressive feat.
Since someone's done it.
Last one, just an update. I was wondering this when this would happen. We know that Luis Ortiz of the Guardians had already been arraigned and everything a couple of days ago with the FBI investigation with the throwing the pitches, intentionally throwing balls and sports betting. Emmanuel Clase today arrived back in the United States at JFK Airport from the Dominican Republic. He was arrested by FBI agents. He will be arraigned at 2 p.m.
They should give him a Cy Young.
Don't think so.
Take it right away.
It might have some awards behind bars.
He's been very good before.
That'll be about it. All right. Earlier today, Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, he will be part of the broadcast Sunday afternoon against the Broncos Chiefs right here on 96.5 The Fan. We started our conversation asking him about Xavier Worthy, these tendencies that have been brought up by the Bills, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes were asked about it. How big of a deal is it, and does everybody have these tendencies?
It's very normal, guys, to have tendencies. I think in any sport, heck, in any walk of life, there's ways that you show up to work. There's ways that you show up on the court, on the field. And if you're paying attention, if you have a wily veteran or a coach that is dialed in, you can find out anything about anybody as far as their tendencies, how they break the huddle, how they line up. I was watching, I reposted the 1997 Chiefs-Broncos game with Pete Stojanovic kicking the game-winning field goal.
All right.
And I watched myself on that tape, and I was like, oh, this is a run play. Oh, that's a pass play. Oh, I'm not getting the ball. Like, I was like, I'm like, from an analyst standpoint now, what, almost 30 years later, like, you recognize, like, oh, my gosh. Like, was it that glaring? Did other teams or other players recognize some certain things? And that's where you have to be focused and disciplined as a player. And more so, if a coach finds something, the tricky part is not necessarily finding things, guys. It's having the guts to be able to dial into it and to roll the dice. I mean, people talk about Tony Romo and his abilities to call plays before they happen. Most analysts can do that. It's just having the guts to do it. It's having the guts to roll the dice and in case you're wrong. In the case of plays being tipped or players tipping plays, you have to roll the dice on whether you're wrong. If you think it's going to be a run based on somebody's alignment and then you're wrong and you get gashed, then it's your fault. So it's not so much that you can't find out things. It's just a matter of if the coaching and, more importantly, if the players are willing to roll the dice on what they study and see. But it is very normal across the landscape, and it might not happen. Here's the key. Those tendencies might not show themselves in the first drive or the first quarter. They show themselves when you start getting tired, when you start grinding, when you got that 12-play drive and you start breathing heavy. Now all of a sudden what I saw on film becomes more prevalent, and it gets down to the minute details. I remember being coached from Bill Snyder in college, even with the Kansas City Chiefs later in my career, guys lining up at 9 yards versus lining up at 9.5. Guys right foot forward versus left foot forward. Their eyes are into the quarterback versus their eyes on me at the wide receiver position. Even in special teams and punt rushes and punt blocks and kickoff returns and reverses and all that stuff. So it's out there. It's just a matter of having the discipline and the willingness and the guts to roll the dice.
How rare is it, though, for a player, like I think it was Hairston for the Bills, to just publicly, hey, here was his tendon, to say that? Like, why would you even say that publicly?
I think it's a great ploy. It's a great game within the game. If you really want to get inside the head of another player, what better way could you do that? If you want Xavier Worthy, let's say we face the Bills in the postseason, and you want Xavier Worthy to be thinking about something else besides making a big play or jet sweeps or flip passes or being in the wishbone, all the quirkiness of what we display offensively, have him thinking a little bit about his alignment. Have him thinking a little bit about how he breaks the huddle. That little bit can be the difference between a big play being made and not being made. So I give him credit. Now, it's a rookie that said it. If you're talking about Hairston, like, that's bold. And you got to put yourself on the island. But obviously he has a lot of moxie and a lot of confidence because I think it's pretty bold. It's just another level of trash talk.
Obviously, this is a big game. 17-3 against the Broncos the previous 10 years, the last decade, Danon. And I know you guys made an emphasis with Marty to beat the Raiders. Heck, Danon, you were 9-1 against the Raiders as a player. But you were 5-6.
Why'd you have to bring that one up?
Well, they're the one. You actually the division because the Seahawks were in it too. The Seahawks actually had more wins than anybody when you were a player, Dana. But you were 5-6 against the Broncos. When you look at the Broncos now, and of course the Chargers are there too. You had a winning record in Chargers too, by the way. But when you look at the Broncos, is this public enemy number one for the Chiefs? And now the Raiders just aren't as viable as what they were when you were playing. How big is this rivalry, do you think, to the Chiefs? Now to the Broncos, Patrick Mahomes is 13-1 against them. Does this ring true for Denver and the hatred toward the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, how big, when you look at the hierarchy of the AFC West, is Chiefs and Broncos once again?
So I will say this. I have almost the same level of hatred for the Raiders as I do the Broncos, and here's why. You mentioned the 9-1 record. The one loss was the last game I played in my career, 1998. What? The last game of the season, we lost to the Raiders. So thanks a lot for bringing that up. The other part is the Denver Broncos. We didn't fare as well against them. The last playoff game that I played in as a player, we lost to the Denver Broncos. So thanks for bringing that up. I could say equal hatred, Bink.
It was close, David.
For these guys. But, the fact remains is that we had no love for anybody else in the AFC West. Seattle was in it back then, and you felt the same way. There was definitely a heightened kind of level of anger and vitriol when you talked about the Raiders and definitely the Broncos. So I feel like these guys feel it too, nowadays. They may not speak about it, but I think they feel it, and especially when you consider the last time we faced them, we didn't go out with all of our starters. We were in a great position, but they drummed us pretty good up there, and now we got an opportunity to change the tide.
We're talking to Dane and Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I asked you about Xavier Worthy. What about the Broncos' wide receiver room? So much is focused in on their defense, obviously Bo Nix, but the wide receiver room, does it deserve more credit? Is it pretty pedestrian? What do you see from that room that I know is headlined by Courtland Sutton, but I don't think they impress a whole lot of people, at least on the fan side of things?
The one thing that jumps out to me is their size. And Courtland Sutton, as you mentioned, the first one, 6'4". Then you got Troy Franklin, 6'3". Bryant, 6'2". I mean, they're big guys. Even Marvin Mims, he's not listed very tall, but he plays bigger. So you got to consider they like to – their game plan offensively is not to put themselves in a position to make mistakes that cost their defense. So don't turn the ball over on their end of the field, so you're giving the defense short field, so the defense has, you know, less opportunity to win. So what they've done a lot of is fade routes on the outside, slant routes on the outside, bubble screens to those big receivers. They can run the ball effectively in open space. So that's kind of their MO, crossing routes, because not only is it tough to keep up with the wide receiver on a crossing route, but if he's 6'4", it's even tougher to deal with as a corner or a safety. So they simplified the offense for Bo Nix that makes it minimal in regards to abilities to put their defense in holes. So that when you consider where they are, they lead the league with 53 punts on the season. So they've opted to say, you know what, we're going to punt the ball away to opposing offenses and roll the dice there, as opposed to rolling the dice with the efficiency and the passing of our offense and putting the weight on the shoulders of Bo Nix. That's kind of been their MO this year, and how do you argue with that when they're 8-2?
Dana, when you look at their defense, obviously that pass rush is elite, something we haven't seen in the last 35 years as far as the amount of sacks they have this far in the season. I know people are talking about Nick Benito a lot. That's fine. But Zach Allen's pretty good as well on that defensive line. He can get after the quarterback. But I'm curious, because Denver is so good in so many areas on defense, no Surtain in this game. But they did draft Jahdae Barron, the corner out of Texas, already has an interception. I think that was a smart draft pick considering other teams in the division went running back. They go corner. But when you look at that, is there a place where the Chiefs can exploit this Denver defense, or how much of a problem can that pass rush be? Can the Chiefs actually throw against the Broncos?
I think we can. I mean, I hate to say it from one side because he's a former Hawkeye, but Riley Moss has been a guy that has been targeted a lot. T. Higgins pretty much owns him over the last 2 years. And that's just one receiver that has had success against Riley Moss. And when you consider without Patrick Surtain, the second, how will Denver line up their defense when you consider with us, Rashee Rice on the outside? Will they employ more zone coverage? I think they'll probably employ more zone coverage and challenge us to see how confident, how comfortable we are with 12 to 14 play drives in that hostile environment and not really expose that rookie Barron or Riley Moss to potential big plays down the field. Plus, we're tough to man-to-man cover because we run so much motion and shifts and we move guys inside and out that lining up man-to-man, you create some uncertainty from a defensive standpoint. So I feel like there's opportunity. I will say number 9, Hufanga, the safety, to me, he's a problem. Because he runs around, he's like a Tasmanian devil out there. Like his head, like he is everywhere, and he finishes plays. He plays through the echo of the whistle, and that has been a huge component. So although you give love to those front line guys, the front seven, and Singleton being a factor, coming Benito obviously being the anchor, Cooper as far as a rush, those guys in the back end, they play really good complementary football. And that safety number 9, he's kind of the pulse of that defense. He plays with the intensity that contributes to their winning ways defensively. So we're going to have our hands full.
Before we let you go, Dayton, I want to ask you about something we discussed in the first segment of the show. I just thought it was interesting. There's been a lot of talk about the Chiefs, specifically, you know, in short yardage and going under the center versus being in shotgun and trying to run the ball and some of the success or lack thereof. And there was some numbers that were put out this week that the top five teams that go under center this year, Seattle, the Rams, the Lions, the Bills, the Patriots, bottom five, Saints, Bengals, Chiefs, Commanders, Falcons. Now, the Chiefs do it 11% of the time. Seattle does it 70. I am by no means saying the Chiefs need to be anywhere near 70% of the time going under center. That's just not who their quarterback is, not how their team is, etc. But do you think this team could be more effective if they went under center at least a little bit more?
Absolutely. I think in many ways, when you consider when this offense has been efficient running the ball with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, it has been the sole I formation, Kareem Hunt, Pacheco, 6 yards, 7 yards deep, behind the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes under center. It has been kind of night and day to me as far as their efficiency and effectiveness in the run game. And then it changes the angles of the rush on the outside. When you have those outside guys in this situation, you have Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper. If you're standing in shotgun formation, the angles and the exposure of the tackles is different than if you're under center. They have to come a little tighter to the line of scrimmage when you're under center because you still have the threat of a run play. When you're in shotgun, they can come a little wider up the field, which can expose the tackles and put them more on an island and susceptible to the speed rush from the outside. So I think that's what's great about this bye week being when it was, because the self-scouting, as you mentioned earlier, really comes into effect, where I'm sure our personnel pointed that out and we'll see maybe some minor adjustments. I don't think we'll get to the point of being 70%, but if we can increase that number closer to 40 or 50 and get in less predictable situations and not allow those outside rushers to pin their ears back because we're in shotgun and we throw the ball more from shotgun than we run, then I think that'll bode well for us.
So that was Dayton Hughes earlier today. You guys know he joins us each and every Thursday. He, of course, will be on the call this Sunday afternoon for the Chiefs Radio Network. The text that we got the most on earlier when we joined us live, and then when you just heard that conversation again, was a lot of people pushing back on the worthy part of it and the tendencies. When I think it was Dayton's comment when he said he thinks it was gamesmanship by the Bills defender to try to get in Worthy's head for the future. A lot of people are pushing back on that. Like, that's why we have Dayton Hughes on. I want a player's perspective on it. I thought it was weird that the player shared publicly the tendency. Dayton thought it was more just like a way to kind of like, no, I got you, dude. Like, I'm trash talking you. I know exactly what you were doing.
Next time
you
line up at the playoffs, I know exactly what you're doing.
I can see both sides of it. I can see why the player would try to do it to get in the head more. I also think, why would you tell him you already saw a tendency? Why wouldn't you just keep that in your own
pocket? Well, what the Chiefs should do, and what Xavier Worthy should do, is just go out and do the opposite. I think if he pointed out your tendencies of what you're doing,
people are saying
go into the game and do the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing, that would throw him for a loop.
Some people were like, he's a rookie. Would the rookie have known, like, thought that far ahead kind of thing?
Yeah, but they can use this to their advantage by using tendencies but doing a reverse order.
I'm glad it actually got mentioned, because it's something that needed to be cleaned up clearly.
I think you should still do them, but just like I said.
Well, you mix it up. Mix it up.
You mean you just do that? Like, if your left foot was forward when you were on run plays, you do the opposite.
You do the opposite of whatever he's calling you out for, you do the opposite of that.
I think
if it's going to be a run play, do the exact same things you do in a pass play, just flip it up.
When Pat also was like, hey, thank you for letting me know. Now we can try to get that thing correct.
Exactly.
You know.
No, that's exactly right. I was just surprised to hear a player say it publicly. That's all.
I'm sure McDermott said.
I like the honesty of players. You know.
Not that much honesty.
Sure, but there's certain things I don't know if you should share.
Whether you got to tell or not, but guess what? You have a tell.
I'd go the baseball way, because if they got a tell on it, they're not saying. If they know a tell on a pitcher, they will not be talking about that postgame.
Bank, appreciate you filling in,
man.
Bank, you're back Tuesday. Logan is in tomorrow and Monday with me. Tomorrow's a Red Friday. We'll be diving deeper into Chiefs, Broncos, what has to happen, biggest concerns, predictions. Tomorrow on the show, here's what we got planned. We will have Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety, does radio in Denver, join us. Josh Briscoe will join us. Matt McMullen from the Chiefs will join us. We'll have Fan Club Friday. Dana Wright from KMBZ, our guest So it should be a fun Red Friday. Also, Professor Weber segment.
It'd be good. He has teaching experience.
I know. I think it'll be good. We got a lot coming your way tomorrow. The Drive is up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.